on Good Friday, much attention is paid to the physical sufferings of Christ our Lord. The crowning with thorns, the scourging at the pillar, the lashes, the blows, the nails, the bloodshed. Much attention is paid to the physical sufferings of our Lord. But you know what's interesting? Take a look at the Gospels and read through the four Gospel accounts of our Lord's Passion, and you'll discover that the Gospels don't say very much about the physical sufferings of Christ. They're mentioned, of course, but without any elaboration, certainly with no graphic detail. One thing that the Gospels do mention, though, again and again, is how alone our Lord was. On the night before he died, our Lord gathered with his apostles in the upper room for the Last Supper. And knowing what was about to happen, he quoted the prophet Zechariah, who said, "I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." And scatter they did. Just a few hours later in the Garden of Gethsemane, our Lord's anguish was so intense that he sweat blood and cried out to his heavenly Father, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass me by, but not as I will, but as you will." And at that hour, even Jesus longed for human companionship. And in his hour of greatest need, turning to his closest friends, what did he discover? But they were all asleep. And can anybody overestimate the loneliness that our Lord would have felt when he was betrayed by Judas Iscariot? You know, Dante said that betrayal is the deepest expression of evil. Because before you can betray somebody, you first have to win their trust. And only after much false confidence can you then execute your deeper plan. Imagine the shock. Imagine the loneliness that this, our Lord's own hand-picked follower, and one of those whom he thought was one of his closest friends, was the very one who handed him over to die. Now, we credit John the Apostle for following our Lord all the way to the cross, and that he did. But even John ran away when Jesus was on trial. When, in the middle of the night, our Lord was railroaded through a kangaroo court, which was illegal under Jewish law. Did you know that? It was against the law to hold court in the middle of the night. And where was St. John during all that? He was no place to be found. The only ones who showed up for our Lord at that hour were the holy women, and their witness was not valid in a court of law. Then there was the deepest loneliness of all. When our Lord cried out on the cross, my God, why have you abandoned me?" There's one mystery you'll never plumb the depths of. How the second person of the Blessed Trinity can say those words to his eternal Father, with whom he is one in being. You know, the saints are unanimous in stating that your soul's deepest suffering is the experience of being abandoned by God. Not that anyone is ever abandoned by God, of course. God is always present. But some souls he allows to feel his absence for their own purification and sanctification. And it only goes to show that your deepest sufferings were never physical. Your spirit is capable of bearing a burden far beyond anything your body could ever stand. And on Good Friday, we do a lot more than just recall the historical sufferings of Christ. I mean, we don't just call this to mind as if to whip ourselves into a pious state of melancholy. No. Why do we recall our Lord's sufferings? To remind ourselves that his sufferings continue even now in each one of us, because each of us is a member of his mystical body. And in us, just like in our Lord, our deepest sufferings are sufferings of the Spirit. Every religion down through the ages has tried to answer this question. The question of the meaning of human suffering. Why do bad things happen to good people? You know, if only it were the terrorists and the criminals and the cutthroats who got cancer, or suffered an untimely death or senseless tragedy. Even the atheistic, nihilistic philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, he mused on this. He said, you know, man can suffer any what so long as he has a why. It can be very, very difficult for us to find any purpose under heaven in the sufferings that come into our lives. This is why God took the sufferings of the world onto himself, that he would become the answer to the heart's deepest longing. The answer to the mystery of suffering and the mystery of evil is not a syllogism or an argument or an explanation. It is a person. Only in the person of Jesus Christ do we see the deeper purpose in every hardship. With the events of Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and most especially our Lord's glorious resurrection on Easter Sunday, he shows us where this is all headed. That goodness, truth, beauty, these things can never be destroyed. And that he accompanies us in every one of our hardships and sufferings. Imagine for a moment that every sorrow of your heart, every tear, is like a blank check. Write your own name on that check. It is worthless, meaningless, valueless. When you sign our Lord's name to that check, its value is infinite. In your blessings in life, our Lord shares with you his gifts, but in your sufferings united to him, he shares with you himself. And we must not look to anyone else in this world other than our Lord for that answer. Don't expect any person in this world to become the meaning of your life, to take the burden of the cross off of your shoulders. That's too much to ask of any person. You know, we expect too much of one another, you know that? Why are we surprised when our friends and our loved ones let us down and fail us? What are they supposed to do? They're fallen human creatures just like we are. There's only one who never fails you, who accompanies you and gives meaning to every last one of your sufferings, and who understands every burden that you carry because he carried it first. In the final 2 weeks of Lent, we veil the cross. People sometimes answer, why do you veil the cross? I mean, if you want to veil the statues, okay, I can understand that. You don't want to pay attention to the statues. But why do you veil the cross? You know why we veil the cross? It's because we see it so much that we get too used to it. It becomes too familiar. And that is why on Good Friday we unveil the cross as if to see it for the very first time. Ave crux spes unica. Hail the cross, our only hope. It is why we bow down before the cross. It is why we press it to our lips. It is why we say we adore you, O Christ, and we praise you. It is why we call this week holy, and why we call this Friday good.